This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson in Washington. We have two storms to discuss today. Both have to do with a bit of fear, one quite natural, the other man-made. Hurricane Florence hit the Carolina coast with winds that toppled trees and brought in storm surge that flooded beaches and roadways and homes. So far, there have been 17 deaths reported related to Florence, and hundreds of thousands of people are without power. The storm has been downgraded to a tropical depression, but very heavy rain is still falling, and the flooding is almost certain to get worse. Joining us now from WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, North Carolina, right on the North Carolina coast, is the station's news director, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Rachel, welcome to 1A.
Thanks for having me, Joshua.
We will be discussing Florence for this first segment of the program before we get to your questions for Bob Woodward. So if you are in the storm recovery zone and can tell us what you're seeing, how you're doing, please do share your stories with us, 1A at WAMU.org. Comment on our Facebook page or tweet us at 1A. And I'm going to sound like a broken record, but I'll say it again. Please only contact us if you can do so safely. If contacting us would put you in any danger, for example, stepping outside your home to get a better cell phone signal, do not do it. Your safety comes first, and if it is safe to contact us, please do so. 1A at WAMU.org. Rachel, how's Wilmington doing right now? What's it like there and along the coast?
You know, Joshua, Wilmingtonians are used to hurricanes, but they're used to it being a wind and rain event that blows in for 12 to 24 hours. There are often hurricane parties, and then at the end of it, people, you know, straighten up and they get out and they start cleaning up. This is a really different kind of event because the wind and rain was not, well, the rainfall certainly was record-setting, but the wind wasn't what we thought. We initially thought we would see a landfall with a category 4 or 5, and that didn't happen, thankfully. But what we're finding now is the skies are cloudy, but you can sort of see the sun peeking through, and officials are warning everybody to still stay off the roads because they're not safe. There are places where there are places that have flooded in Wilmington that, as far as we know, have never flooded before. And the river cresting, which is supposed to happen later this week, is going to add another round of flooding that is very unpredictable. Meteorologists are saying that this river flooding to happen later in the week will break records from Hurricane Matthew in 2016.
I did want to ask you about that unpredictability and how much, if at all, this storm caught folks in and around Wilmington off guard. I mean, there have been hurricanes there before, and I get the sense just from watching the coverage that the people who stayed behind for the hurricane, many of them were folks who said, yeah, we've been through hurricanes before. We know what we're dealing with. We never evacuate. We'll be fine. Is that what we saw this time around?
That's exactly right. There were more people who did flee when we thought it was going to be a Cat 4 or Cat 5. And the governor of North Carolina, Roy Cooper, issued the state's first mandatory evacuation order for the barrier islands. That's usually something that the state leaves to municipalities, local county governments. But this time, we didn't know how devastating this was going to be. So more people definitely fled. But the people who stayed, you know, they are those sort of hardcore, I can ride this thing out, despite the fact that we were getting messages from the governor saying, don't bet your life on riding out a monster.
Talk about how emergency crews are doing. Are they able to reach the folks who are calling 911 if they're able to call 911? How's the rescue effort going?
At this point, they are. To date, just in New Hanover County, and, you know, we're looking at southeastern North Carolina, which is about 5 counties. In New Hanover County, where the city of Wilmington is, we've had 650 rescues from the beginning with our emergency responders and partners, and that's been rescuing people from flooding, from vehicles that have been flooded, from homes where trees have fallen. In fact, we had 2 deaths in the city of Wilmington because a tree had fallen on someone's home and the people were trapped. A mother and her infant passed away. The father was taken to the hospital, and we don't have an update on his condition. We had another death this morning, actually, at a new shelter that was just opened up in Wilmington. We don't have word on what the cause of death was, but just an unresponsive person, and staff started CPR, and counselors were there to talk with the family members and the people who were in close proximity when whatever happened.
We are speaking to Rachel Lewis Hilburn, news director at WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, North Carolina. We'd love to hear from you as well. 1A@WAMU.org. Lisa lives in Wilmington, and Lisa wrote, "I am one of millions of residents who have evacuated and have no idea when we will be able to return. We are on day 6 of being away from our home." How does that look, Rachel? I'm sure that the flooding, as you mentioned, is going to make it either impassable or impossible for some folks to get back to where they live, at least That's for the time being.
Exactly right, Joshua. Right now, the city of Wilmington is pretty much cut off from the rest of the state. All the main roads into Wilmington are impassable. And people have been, you know, champing at the bit on social media to, you know, asking about their homes, people who are still here to check on their homes, tell them about the state of them, tell them about the state of flooding in places where we don't expect flooding. So many people eager to get back. And that's one of the elements of this disaster that is different. People won't be able to come back for a while.
What about folks who have taken shelter? Where are they sheltering? What are the conditions like in the shelters? How's that going?
The shelters are largely set up at public schools around the region. And we recently in New Hanover County consolidated 5 shelters into 1 at a newer, larger high school. There are a little over 700 people there as of this morning. And they have limited food, they have water, a dry and safe place. Bedding is a challenge. When shelters were initially opened up, I heard reports of people, elderly people in their 70s and 80s, having to sleep on tile floors. So we're encouraging people, if they're still heading out to shelters, which again is strange after the storm itself has passed, but that river cresting is going to create this flood situation. We're reminding people to bring their own bedding if they have it, especially blankets.
Take a step back from the storm for a moment. For folks who've never been to Wilmington, or maybe were never even really aware of Wilmington before the storm, tell us about the community there. What are the folks like? What are some of the big businesses that are affected by this? What's the layout? I mean, I had the pleasure of coming to Wilmington to visit your station for an event. It is a beautiful kind of coastal town on the North Carolina coast. Parts of it look exactly like if you've ever been on the beach in parts of South Florida. You would swear you were back there. Tell us about Wilmington as a community, leaving the storm out for a minute.
You know, it's part beach town and it's part deeply cultural community. Wilmington has been called Hollywood East because we used to be a major hub for film production of, you know, feature films, television shows. In fact, One Tree Hill, Dawson's Creek was shot here. Iron Man 3 shot here. We have a lot of folks who are artistic visual artists and filmmakers and people in theater and musicians. And, you know, it's been really kind of jarring to walk around town during the storm and see all these production crews set up who have nothing to do with film or artistic television. It's all about covering the impending disaster. That's been a little jarring for people, I think. Downtown Wilmington, which is art galleries and restaurants and, you know, all kinds of cultural, wonderful riverfront elements, it's pretty much boarded up. There's lots of broken glass. And on that note, frankly, we had varying reports of looting around the region, but it's been minimal, thankfully. Curfews are in place. But Wilmington is just, like you say, it's a really beautiful port city with people from all walks of life.
Indeed, there is actually an art gallery inside WHQR studios if you ever have a chance to go there. I know we got to let you go in just a second, Rachel, but give us a sense of what the outlook is right now, particularly power. What's the picture in terms of getting electricity back on?
Crews have already been out and they are restoring power. As of this morning, I think about 308,000 customers were without power statewide. In our region, we're looking at more like 100,000+. We're hearing anecdotal reports of the lights coming back on here in the WHQR studios. We're still on generator power with no air conditioning and, you know, using a microwave in one of the studios. But it looks like it's improving from the outage point of view. The next step is just going to be finding out what actually happens with this record-breaking river flooding.
And with regards to the river flooding, are there parts of town that folks are concerned are irrevocably changed, that may never be habitable in the same way that they were?
That's a really good question. I've been trying to get a clear answer on where this could happen and how high the waters could go. And I think because this has never happened before, meteorologists just don't have any frame of reference for it. And so a lot of people are just sitting back and waiting to see what happens.
But folks are hopefully keeping their hopes up. They're not starting to get pessimistic about it, are they?
I don't think they are. The mood around town is one of, I think it's more like cabin fever. Officials are saying, please stay inside and stay off the roads because there's debris. There is standing water and you don't know how deep it is. There could be flowing water. Flash floods are a huge risk right now.
Yeah.
Power lines are down and we don't know which ones are live and which ones aren't. People, when they hear reports of a gas station opening up or a local grocery store opening up, then we see lines out into the parking lot while, you know, they let in maybe 10 people at a time. There's a serious amount of cabin fever. We heard about a couple of bars opening up downtown. People flocked to those bars, and one of the bar owners said, we might have saved some marriages here.
Rachel Lewis-Hilburn is news director at WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, North Carolina. If you have family and friends in the area trying to get the signal, just let them know that they're broadcasting on translators at 91.3, 92.7, and 96.7 until they're back on their regular tower. Rachel, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you, Joshua.
In just a moment, we'll speak to Bob Woodward, the author of the runaway bestseller, Fear, Trump in the White House. If you have questions about the book, now's the time to ask. He's in our studio, and he'll answer your questions next. I'm Joshua Johnson. You're listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR.